Good morning. I'm glad everybody's able to be here this morning. We've got some people missing, and we've got some people here that usually aren't here, so we're glad everyone's able to be here with us this morning. After everyone comes in and gets seated, we'll have us a prayer, and we'll get started this morning. We have to wait on the Setliff herd. All right, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for giving us another wonderful opportunity to praise your name and to worship you and to get into your word. Lord, we thank you so much for everyone being able to be here. We pray that you be with those of our number that are out of town or visiting elsewhere. We pray that you keep them safe. We pray that you bless us this morning. We pray that you receive our worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Lord, we lift up your name with hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord my God, Hosanna in the highest. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Glory, glory, glory to the King of Kings. Lord, we lift up your name with hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord, my God, Hosanna in the highest. For today's psalm, it's Psalm 134, followed by Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And the tune is the familiar one to Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Come bless our God with one accord, you faithful servants of the Lord, who in his house do stand by night and praise him there with all your might. Lift up your hands in prayer, draw nigh unto his sanctuary high. Come bless the Lord, kneel at his feet, and worship him with reverence meet. The Lord now bless you from above, from Zion in his boundless love. Our God, who heaven and earth did frame, blessed be his great and holy name. Praise God from
Morning, church. Morning. The scripture reading this morning, we're going to be in Isaiah 41, 8 through 16. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. Do not be afraid. You, warm Jacob, little Israel, do not fear. For I myself will help you, declares the Lord. Your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. See, I will make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp with many teeth. You will thresh the mountains and crush them, and reduce the hills to chaff. You will winnow them, the wind will pick them up, and a gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord, and glory in the Holy One of Israel. The poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst, but I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valleys. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. If you'll pray with me. Dear Lord, I thank you for giving this chance to come together to worship you, to bring glory to you, and to recenter and focus ourselves on the great many blessings that you've given us. I pray that this time of worship will be pleasing to your ear and that our hearts and minds will be right with you as we worship you and learn more about you, Lord. I thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Listen to our wondrous story, counted once among the lost. Yet one came down from heaven's glory, saving us at all full cost. Who saved us from eternal loss? What did he do? Could his place have taken, highest of the high, though he, the loved one on the cross forsaken, was one of the Godhead three, who saved us us from eternal love. What did he do? Where is he now? In heaven interceding. Will you surrender to this Savior, to his scepter humbly bow? You who shall come to know his favor. He will save you now. Who saved us from eternal love? What did he do? Where is he now? In heaven intercede.
Prepare for the Lord's Supper with When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the
Well, today is Father's Day, as we all know. And what a way to look at Father's Day by reflecting on the one who sent his son to die for our sins and free us from that sin. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus was speaking to a crowd that did not share in basically the character of our Heavenly Father. And in Luke chapter 15, he shares basically the attitude of our Father with Pharisees and scribes and tax collectors. And verse 1 says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" And if you know Luke chapter 15, Jesus goes into three different parables. The first one's parable of the lost sheep. And then next is the parable of the lost coin. And then the parable of the prodigal son is what we're going to look at in verse 11. "And he said, 'There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me a share of the property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine rose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself," or another translation is when he basically came to his senses, "he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." Now, I'm not going to read the rest of the story, but as many of you know, the older son threw a fit over this, just like the Pharisees and the scribes did at the very beginning to Jesus when they said he was eating with sinners. And the father had to tell him that he had all that was given to him. He had everything at his disposal, but that this one soul who was once lost was now found and is worth celebrating. We gather every Sunday to remember the sacrifice Jesus gave from what is called in the contemporary hymns, "A Good, Good Father." That's who he is, who sent his son to die so that we are no longer lost but are found. And because of that, we'll get to wear the robes and the ring on our finger and celebrate at the table. We do that to remember him every week. And so I just wanted us to reflect on that, especially for today as Father's Day, as we remember Christ together. So as we get ready to focus on that, let us pray together. Father God, we thank you for all that you've done for us, and we thank you for being a good, good Father. God, we ask at this time, as we remember the death of your Son, that we do so in a manner pleasing to you. Because, God, we know that on our own we are not worthy, but it is through the blood of your Son, Jesus, that we are made worthy to be called your children. And, God, we thank you for loving us so much to send your Son to pay the ultimate price so that we can still be your children. Be with us as we partake of this bread, and that we do so in a manner worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Father God, as we continue giving thanks for the cup, we ask that as we partake of Christ's blood that we do so also in a manner of worthiness, Lord, and in a manner of thankfulness, and to celebrate what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father God, we know that we can't give back enough in return for what you've done for us. We know that we could never live up to that standard without you. But God, we ask that what we do give back, we pray that it is used for your kingdom and for your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand as we sing The Joy of the Lord. Same key.
The joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not falter, I will not faint. He is my shepherd, I am not afraid. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. He will uphold me all of my days. I am surrounded by mercy and grace. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not waver walking by faith. He will be strong to deliver me safe. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy
of the Lord is my strength. So I've recently have seen on Facebook this deal that says, if I ask you to teach me something that you know well, what am I going to learn? So today we're going to talk about the inner workings of an internal combustion engine. Now we're actually going to talk about the joy of the Lord being our strength today. We all have times when, you know, it's hard just to get up in the morning. I mean, it could be work things, it could be health things, it could be personal relationships, professional relationships, whatever. Sometimes it's hard to get out of bed. There's things that go wrong in our lives. There's things that go great in our lives. But, I mean, even coming to church, I mean, sometimes just getting up in the morning, because it's been such a rough week, man. It's just hard to get out of bed and go face all these people that seem to have everything put together really well. And you just don't want to be around that sometimes. I know I have been that way. But I'll tell you right now, whenever I get to church, by the time I'm done worshiping God, I feel better. I feel a lot better. There's strength in worshiping God, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to be in Job to start with this morning. And we're going to be in Job chapter 1. I guess the question that I had in my mind is, why do we go ahead and get up and get to worship services when we're feeling like that? Because you almost feel guilty about it. My mind, my heart's not in the right place to be trying to be in the presence of God. So why do we do it? And I think it's because there is strength in worshiping God. We're going to talk about a few different scenarios in which people have been in situations where you just don't really feel like worshiping, but they found their strength in doing so. Starting with Job, we all know the story about Job. You know, it starts off with Satan being in the presence of God, and, you know, the challenge being posed, you know, what about my servant Job? And Satan gets the opportunity to challenge Job, to challenge his faith. We're going to start in verse 13. Now, there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating, drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And there came a messenger to Job and said, the oxens were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans formed three groups and made a raid on the camels and took them and struck down the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And behold, a great wind came across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell upon young people and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Job hit his knees in worship after losing everything he had, including his children. I've been in a bad mood all day before because I cracked a screen on my phone. He lost everything and he worshiped God. I couldn't imagine getting that kind of news, you know, sitting here enjoying a meal with your wife or something. And hey, everything that you have is gone now. It's all been stolen or destroyed or killed. Your children are dead. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know if my faith is strong enough that I could hit my knees and worship God in that. But he did. He's a great example of finding strength in worshiping God. He didn't stay in a state of mourning. In verse 20, it says he worshiped. And the following verses says he didn't sin. He lost his servants, his livestock, and his children. And he found comfort in God. And in the next chapter, Satan was allowed to affect Job's health. And then afterwards, His own wife was telling him, just curse God and die. Just be done with it. And his response to her was, shall we receive the good from the Lord and not the evil? You know, are we going to take the blessings that he's given you and not take the bad things that come along with it too? Very keen knowledge of the fact that God is in control in every situation. And we all know the story continuing on. He never really struggled in his faith until he started listening to his friends. When he took his eyes off of God, then he had a problem. As long as his eyes were focused on God, kind of like Peter watching Jesus walking on the water, as long as his eyes were on God, he was good. The next example I want us to look at is David. Let's turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 12. And for those of y'all that don't know where 2 Samuel is, it's right after 1 Samuel. Second Samuel chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 15. Again, a little backstory on this part. You know, we know the story about David and Bathsheba. You know, David was on the rooftop, saw Bathsheba bathing. Lust took him over, and he effectively murdered her husband so that he could be with her. And Nathan called him out on it and you know, pointed out the errors of his ways, and he realized what he had done and said, God's going to take this child. He's going to take the child from you. And we're going to start reading in verse 15, right after the subject text change. And the Lord afflicted the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and he became sick. David therefore sought God on behalf of the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. And the elders of his house stood beside him to raise him from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. On the seventh day, the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spoke to him, and he did not listen to us. How then can we say to him, the child is dead? He may do himself some harm. But when David saw that the servants were whispering together, David understood that the child was dead. And David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. He then went into his own house, and when he asked, they set food before him, and he ate. And the servants said to him, "What is this thing that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate." And he said, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who knows whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live?' But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me." Again, I couldn't imagine having the news that my child was dead. But David, while the child was alive, David was on his knees praying. He was praying that God would be gracious, praying that he'd be merciful. When it was over, in the pain of losing your child, he worshiped. He found strength in God. David knew that what he did was wrong, that he was being punished. And his response to his servants was, while the child was alive, he prayed so that God would be merciful. David, like Job, found comfort in his loss by worshiping God. And the final example I want to look at today is going to be in Acts. We're going to look at Paul. Now, Paul didn't have a child that died, that we know of, but he did have some struggles of his own. When Paul was Saul, you know, he persecuted the church, he tormented Christians, and then God decided to use him to further his kingdom instead of tormenting his kingdom. And in the process of doing that, there were many times that he was beaten or thrown out of towns or thrown in prison. And we're going to look at one of these times when he was thrown into prison. Paul, or in Acts chapter 16, we see where Paul and Silas had been going through and spreading the word of God. And they were arrested and beaten and they were imprisoned. And in verse 16 it says, "As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. She followed Paul and us, crying out, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation.' And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And it came out that very hour. And when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, 'These men are Jews and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice.' The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off of them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks." So here's where we see the torment that Paul was in and Silas. That's where their pain was. And then we're going to look and see how they responded to that. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening. That's their response. "I've been beaten, I've been disrobed, I've been thrown in prison. Praise God." Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. He brought them up into his house, set food before him. And he rejoiced along with the entire household that he had believed in God. Paul took his situation, turned it into a moment of praise, and God used that moment to further his kingdom by saving the jailer and his entire household. It's easy to wallow in self-pity. It's easy to live in the struggles of what's going on in our lives. It's not necessarily easy to praise God in it. But when you do, He makes wonderful things happen. He makes wonderful things happen. Josh read for us in Isaiah chapter 41, and I want to read it again. I want us to hear these words again, because our strength comes from God. Isaiah 41, 8 through 16. But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, who I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all who are incensed against you shall be put to shame and confounded. Those who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish. You shall seek those who contend with you, but you shall not find them. Those who war against you shall be as nothing at all. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I am the one who helps you, declares the Lord. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I make of you a threshing sledge, new, sharp, and having teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and crush them. You shall make the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the tempest shall scatter them. And you shall rejoice in the Lord, and the Holy One of Israel you shall glory. God is our refuge. He's our strength. He fights our battles for us. And the ones that it seems like He's not with us, He uses to make us stronger. I've always firmly believed that God lets us go through the things that we go through in our lives to make us into who we are. Because one day He's going to put you in a situation where you can use that to help somebody else. Find your strength and your joy in the Lord God. Don't let Satan cloud your life with fear and doubt. Be strong in the Lord and He'll reward your faith. Just like we just sang, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I will not falter. I won't waver. The joy of the Lord is my strength. If anyone has anything that they may need, please come as we stand and sing.
Just a couple announcements this morning. Remember that the ladies' Bible study is starting this week, Tuesday. That's going to be at the home of the Lees. It's going to be 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock in the evening. That address, if you don't have it, you can jot it down real quick. It's 6503 Harvard. So 6503 Harvard, ladies' Bible study. We do have a few prayer requests, a few we want to remember in our prayers this week. We need y'all to pray for the Racklers family. Their parents' health is just kind of deteriorating, and we just pray that you will keep them. Please put them in your prayers, that their health will improve, and just be with that family, please. Also, Stoney Montgomery, it's a friend of Scotty. He had back surgery to have a cyst or something removed, or a mass or something. Okay, so we just need to pray for him that he has a quick recovery and quick healing. Also, we need to go ahead and keep Rex in our prayers. He starts chemo in July, and so it's really good to see him here this morning, but we need to continue to pray for him that everything goes well and pray for him to have plenty of strength and give him your support. Give him a call, pat him on the back. I guess you'll take pats on the back and handshakes, right? For now, anyway. So, yeah, definitely encourage him. Also, Dale's sister, Nina, is in rehab, and she's improving. So prayers of thanksgiving for that, but please continue to keep her in your prayers, as well as Becky Vickers, who is improving as well, but we need to continue to pray for her and reach out to her in any way that we can. Are there any other announcements this morning? Yes. Okay, so Romeo's sister, Rosie, we need to add her to our prayers. Just finding some blockage. They're going to do some tests on it, just hoping it's not cancer or anything like that. But just please keep Rosie in your prayers as well. Yes? Okay. So Bren's feeding tube was removed and had some issues with that. So they went ahead and took care of that. Hopefully, we just need to go ahead and keep her in our prayers that heals correctly this time and give her a speedy recovery. Anyone else? All right, if you would join me in prayer, please. Lord, we thank you so much for your son, for your church, for your kingdom, that we are able to gather here this morning to give you praise, to lift our voices to you, to speak to you in prayer and to hear you speak to us. Lord, we just love you so much. We love you for the blessings that you shower upon us. Lord, we thank you that through your Son we can speak to you and that we can be close to you, Lord, and that our sin does not separate us from you any longer. Lord, we ask that you will be with those that are not with us, that are ill, that are needing your strength, that are needing your extra love and tenderness, Lord. We just pray for the Racklers, the Montgomery family, Becky Vickers, Rex, Nina Dell's sister, Rosie, and Brent. Lord, we just pray that you be with them, that you will give them your strength, that you will give them your blessings in extra measure. Lord, we thank you so much for the country that we live in. We continue to pray for our leaders. We continue to pray for those that make decisions that affect so many. Lord, we continue to pray that you will give us the strength to make the stand and make the right decisions, Lord, and that we will speak up and share your will, your commands, and bring others to you, Lord. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.